You know, the heart of worship is this great love for the Word of God. I find that in many churches, the heart of worship are the activities that lead up to the Word of God. But the heart of it is what you're going to do with the Word that you have in the text of Scripture. I believe fundamentally that without us, without the responding to the Word, all we're doing is just responding emotionally to what is going on around us. Now, you cannot help but to be happy for being here today, not because it's Mother's Day, because it's Jesus' day. 2,000 years ago, the Bible tells me that the first century church came and gathered once a week, and most of them gathered on a Sunday to recognize the resurrected Lord in their lives. And that's what gives us great privilege to be here this morning. Now, I'd like to share something with you a little bit about the text as taken from Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 21. Very interesting chapter, because if you begin reading at verse 1, Jesus does it again. Jesus starts to talk about religious hypocrisy. Now, Jesus is well 2 years into his ministry now, getting ready to end up his final year and then come on into Jerusalem and be sacrificed for you and I, Brother Percy. He's getting ready to end it up. And just as he comes to that last, to that third year of ministry, the Pharisees are really ready to do numbers on him. As a matter of fact, Jesus is telling the Pharisees, no, you don't have to tell my disciples how they're supposed to eat and live and walk and wash pots and stuff. That's just surface religion, man. I'm dealing with something deeper than that. Now, Jesus' contemporaries began to despise him the more and more. So I had to give you that background because you might be asking, what in the world is Jesus doing leaving Capernaum proper, going up into the northern part of the country, spending time up in Tyre and Sidon? What in the world is Jesus going up there spending time in Canaanite land? You know where them heathens live. Them people that's not like them good old Jewish folks, those mixed-blooded Samaritans, them black folk. What are you doing going up there for? Well, I'll tell you why he went up there. He went up there to recline, to rest with his apostles. And Jesus had been teaching and ministering to them, and now he goes up around Tyre and Sidon to take a break, so to say. But let me share something with you. Jesus never went anywhere, said anything. Nothing ever happened unless he knew exactly what was going on. And when our text opens up in verse 21, we see something taking place right in front of us. Now, the subject of this sermon is called, well, you won't believe this, it's in your program. Maybe I should hold that back. Gold card faith. Now, I'm forced to do something since it's Mother's Day, and I know that one of the primary objectives of a lot of ladies is that if somebody gave you their gold card and said, go on down to the mall and just buy yourself anything you want, it's all on me. It would not take long for these ladies, Brother James, to get that gold card and go on down there and whip it out and in every store in that mall and literally use that gold card to their favorable advantage. That's why I'm calling this sermon Gold Card Faith. It is my premise to say that this is exactly what this Canaanite, this is exactly what this sister, this is exactly what this mother did. She was a Canaanite woman. She was a sister. She was a mother. She had problems. And I'm going to tell you, she was, listen, she came up. She came up. She was a heathen woman of Gentile stock. She worshipped idol gods. She was a mother that had unspeakable grief. Her daughter had a demon. Something else, she was a woman of resolute determination. She was like the Christian woman ought to be today. You know, a lot of Christian women give up when things give out. This woman did not give up. As a matter of fact, she depended more and more on what Jesus could do for her. She was a woman, and you're going to find out in this text, that did not waste her words. She came right to the point, Jackie. She said it. She meant it. And God responded. She used people, gold card faith. Now, you know, some of you have another kind of credit card faith. You have this kind of thing, well, I hope it's good. This woman had a gold card. There was no limit to her faith. And she demonstrated that in the text. And let's get into it and see what she did. And Jesus went away from there. Went away from where? You got to read the other part of the chapter. Jesus is around Capernaum, around the Sea of Galilee, ministering to all those folks. And the Pharisee is getting angrier and angrier and angrier with his demeanor. Jesus is more and more sounding like the Son of God, acting like he knew exactly what he was talking about. So he had to take his disciples and leave around that place, around Capernaum. So Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, the writer says, a Canaanite woman came out from that region. Now you need to know something about this. This was a woman that the Jews hated. She was different racially. This was a woman that worshiped idol gods, all mixed up in the world. And Jesus and his disciples, probably on the northern coast of Judea, around there, was probably reclining. It was a beautiful part of the season. It's warmer down in Jerusalem, but it's much cooler as you go up north. And I can just see him reclining right now, and all of a sudden this Gentile woman comes up to him. You, ladies, is this Gentile woman approaching the Master? Let's see if you have gold card faith. And she began to cry out. I have a question for you, mothers. I have a question for you, wives. You may not have a daughter possessed with a demon, just like the man had last week in our lesson. But what is it that you need to cry out to Jesus about? Young women, young men, what's the issue? This woman came out, saw Jesus, and she began to cry out. And do you know what that beginning to cry out was? That's her beginning to use her gold card. See, my friends, we all have gold cards. Jesus issued it to us when we came to him by faith, and he saved us. When issues come up in our lives, some of us are crying out to the wrong persons. Now, I know that this Canaanite woman probably called on her Canaanite God, called on her God to redeem her daughter's life. Her gods could do nothing. Her friends could do nothing. Here comes the Lord. Now, you might be asking, how did she hear about him? Everywhere Jesus went, crowds followed him. His reputation traveled that whole region. And now here he comes up in Tyre and Sidon, and right with him are his bigoted disciples. And I see this woman crying out to the Master. Now, look what she said. The first thing that she said is, have mercy on me. Now, what this woman was saying, in essence, Jesus, have compassion on me. Women today do not ask the Lord for compassion. Women today ask the Lord for recognition. Women today ask the Lord for position. Women today ask the Lord for other things other than compassion. Each of us has certain things in our individual lives. We know exactly what it is. We need to do like this sister did. We need to come to Jesus and say, Lord, have compassion on me. Dispense some mercy my way. Understand my condition. My life, my plot. How do we come to Jesus? Do we just come to him on Mother's Day and say, I hope they give me a gift. I hope they take me to dinner. No, you need to go with a gold card and try to use it. And that's exactly what this woman did. Now, thus far, everything that she did was appropriate and fine and fair. And it might seem to you, well, I know the way the story is going to end. Jesus is going to have dynamite compassion on her, and everything's going to be all right. I know that's the way the story ends. Not exactly, my friend, because when you go to Jesus asking for compassion, it's not like that in your life, and it wasn't necessarily like this in this woman's life. She said, Oh, Lord, Son of David. Now, this is an interesting term because she is exercising faith in Jesus as a Canaanite woman would never do. Now, you might be asking, well, John, you're making that up. No, that's not true, because in John chapter 4, the woman of Samaria at the well, when Jesus had a conversation with her, she responded in the same way when she went to Samaria, and she said, come on back and see a man that's told me all that I've ever done. Is not this the Christ? So here we see a Gentile woman, just like we are in this room, going to Jesus, asking for some compassion, for some mercy. It is my premise to say that in 1991, you don't need a lot of money. You don't need a lot of stuff. We need a lot of what? Compassion. We need God's compassion and mercy in our lives. Now, the reason that we are not receiving His compassion and mercy is because we have not bent down like this woman. Wait until we get to the verse where she bows down. When I give you the Greek definition, Brother Matt, of what's going on in this scenario here, it will blow your mind. It is my permit to say, Sister Diane, that you and I don't get down like this sister did. Now, you know what? Most of the time when we ask God for His mercy or His compassion, we are asking out of disfavor. This woman was not living in disfavor with God. She realized what Christ could do in her life. Now, you notice what I did. I do two things. Disfavor with God, she knew what Christ can do. What am I implying? That Jesus is God. That's why she went to Him. And that's why compassion was given to her. Let me pause and say this. Some of you have some tremendous dilemmas in your life. And the reason that you have these tremendous dilemmas in your life is because you are not treating Jesus like He's God. You're treating Jesus like He's a cosmic killjoy, some kind of cure-all that's going to give you what you want when you want it, and He's not going to dispense His compassion and mercy until you come to Him on His terms. And that's the problem with the Christian church today, my friend. We're coming to God on our terms, with our rules. And God is saying, I am ready to open heaven and bless you from on high. Are you ready to give it up and give it to me? No, Lord, I want you to open. He won't open until He can give you compassion. But He's going to do you just the way He did this sister that was seeking to use her gold card. Now let's keep on reading. Because in verse 23, after she says to the Lord, my daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. In verse 23, we see the woman attempting to use the gold card. She comes to Christ, and she says, well, I'm here. Now, let me break it down in 1991. You know, when you go to that mall, and you get all those goods, and you walk up to the register, and you put all the stuff on the counter, and then you reach for your purse or your wallet, and you take that gold card out. And the first thing that you do is you put it right down there, and the man looks in your face, and he smiles. And then what he might do is he might run it through a little machine, and then he'll look at you again, and then he'll smile again, and then he'll go to his little desk and say, excuse me one second, please. And then he starts to run the numbers. Now, you know what he's doing? He's checking up on you. He's trying your faith. Now, if that gold card doesn't belong to you, you know what you're going to do, Brother Glover. You're going to kind of like disappear and say, wait a minute, I forgot something. And you're going to leave the counter and you're going to leave because you know what's going to come up, Melvin, on that gold card. Error is going to come up. This thing is ripped off. Now, that's the problem with some of us in the church today, Brother Matt. We claim we have faith and we're trying to use somebody else's faith and it doesn't work. Listen. He gives each and every one of us a gold card, but you've got to come to Him and He's got to try you when you use that. You just don't come on your Christian experience. So many people come up and they say, yeah, well, I'm coming to the Lord on Christian experience. He don't want that. He wants to test you by running that gold card. And I'm going to tell you all something. Most of the time, like when I go to that, hey, listen, some of these cards that you get have a limit on it. You know, 1,000, 2,000, 4,000. Well, I have a card that has no limit. And I have to pay it off at the end of the month. That's my limit. And so whenever I give him that card and he runs it, Sister Stanley, I just say, let him press the numbers. I can stand the test. I know I paid it all last month. Now, how about some of you? You owe Jesus a whole bunch of stuff. You owe Him some repentance, some commitment, some time. But you won't give it to Him, but you're going to try to run that gold card. Let's see what happened to the sister. Look what it says in verse 23. But He, that is, the Lord, did not answer her a word. Now, isn't this unique? She goes to him, James, and she says, help me. My baby has a demon. I heard you can do it. Help me out, Jesus. Silence. Now, how many of you in your beloved, divine, Christian experience have gone to God and asked Him for something and nothing has happened? And what is your response when nothing happens? That's the kind of God Jesus is. I go to him with my gold card and he doesn't answer. No, my friend, he's running it through the system. He's pressing the numbers in. He's trying to find out what you all about. Well, I come to church. You don't run your gold card when you come to worship. You run that gold card when you don't feel like worshiping. You run that gold card when you feel like fighting. You run that gold card when you feel like cussing. Then you see if that charge is going to work or not. Look what happened in verse 23. But he did not answer her a word. And look what else happened in verse 23. Not only did Jesus, so to say, shine the sister on, but his good fellows got involved. And his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, send her away. For this sister came shouting after us. Not only, look at the text, not only did Jesus shut down to the woman, but even his disciples double-dyed, shut her down. Now, how many of you, come on, let's be truthful with the situation this morning. In church, sitting in God's house, how many of you have gone to God about some things in your life and God seems to be silent? How many of you have even gone to other believers in God's house and they seem to be indignant, antagonizing the situation, not helping out at all? Friends, you're trying to roll or run that gold card of faith, and every time they're running through the machine, it comes up, hey, something's wrong here. Something's wrong. Now, I want you to notice something. When the disciples said that she came shouting after us, comes from a beautiful Greek term, kradzo. Kradzo means she came screaming and crying to us. Now, this Canaanite woman knew how to run her gold card. Too many of us come to church, and we too sophisticated. Well, I'll never come to Jesus that way. I'll just come and say, hey, I got a problem. Work it out. Then I'll love you. No, this woman came screaming to the disciples. She knew that Jesus was there. And then when she came to Jesus, Jesus seemingly shut down, and the disciples took that to say, he's just as biased against this pagan woman than we are. Now, I want to share something with you about the text. If God does not seem to be working in somebody else's life, does not mean that he is not concerned about them. He is testing their gold card. You see, sometimes what we do, Sister Monroe, we say, well, now, if I come to God, he's supposed to do this, right? Now, he's going to test that gold card. And the test that he puts you through sometimes is going to, and listen, he knows when the machine is going to come up with the go-ahead for you. I don't know. Your wife, your husband doesn't know, your neighbor, your friends doesn't. He knows, because he's the only one, brothers and sisters, that can read your heart. And it's beautiful when you look at this. They said, send her away. She's shouting after us. In other words, these disciples were not only prejudiced against the woman, but they were totally insensitive of her situation. And it appears, Sister Stanley, that Jesus was also insensitive. Don't ever assume that Jesus is insensitive, Sister Blake, if he does not answer you today. You just make sure that you run that gold card of faith. You see, many of us, by this time in the text, would have thrown the thing away. Said, there ain't nothing to this Christianity bit. I've tried, and you've heard choir sing about, I've tried. No, keep on running the card. Jesus is waiting to show you something. Let's continue to move down. This is beautiful, because in verse 24, we see questioning faith. Now listen to what he said. But he answered, now this is his answer to the disciples. And the sister was sitting there. Pay attention. She heard Jesus answer this. This was test number two, or should I say number three, as she's running her gold card. Look, and he answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This term lost is one that I used last week, apolomai. Some of us see it as another Greek word to destroy, but he says, I was sent only to those that were perishing, woman. Now, you know what he's doing? He's testing her gold card. Sometimes when you go to Christ and it seems like Jesus is doing a lot for other people, and it seems as if Jesus is saying, oh, he's helping them out, but he won't help me out. Christianity doesn't work. Robert, you might say, well, Jesus, if you really want to help me out, brother, get me up out of this wheelchair. He said, oh, no, 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 don't you come to me like that. Don't you come to me telling me what to do in your life. I'm going to do exactly what I want to do in your life when I'm ready to do it. I want you to continue to run the what, church? Run that gold car. Run that goal. Don't look at anybody else's life. Don't look at what anybody else has. Don't look at what anybody, don't look at what God is doing for anybody else. And listen, most of the time in the church, when God starts running folks' gold card and testing them, and then the test comes out positive and the credit line runs through, the first thing that we do in the church, seemingly when God's not running ours, is we try to say, well, what is it that you're doing? And so that I can do that and so he can okay my credit. No, you don't understand. You don't understand the Jesus that I worship. See, Jesus knows, Sister Walker, my need and your need. And he's going to respond to my need and your need at different times and under different circumstances. Some of you are going to find that you have more to go through to get where that gold card's going to come out. And some of us, listen, here's the key. Boy, you know this is great. Because, see, I know some of you have read down and you've seen that Jesus healed the woman's daughter. That's not the point. I want you to feel the frustration that this sister is feeling right now. When Jesus says, I was sent to the house of Israel first. I was not sent to you, but I was sent only to those that are mine. Now let's come on down to verse 25, and I want to show you something. But she came. Now you see, she didn't stop. She kept running that car. No, she came back, Jackie. She said, no, I'm through. Listen. This is what they do, Sister Stanley. You know, because you've been in the church many years. I'm through with the church. I'm through with them. I'm going to drop the church. It ain't nothing about that. No, this woman came again. He said, I was sent to the house of Israel. Now, you know what his disciples were doing? They were gloating in their position. There are some folk in the church that when unscrupulous people, so-called, quote-unquote, come to the church, you know, street-walking people, people that don't have such a high reputation, people that, you know, maybe can't fund the church as well as you do, come in, oh, man, why are we getting this rabble here? You know, come on, yeah, Jesus, send them away. We want the right kind coming to it. What? White folk coming here? Why are they coming here? This is a black church. What? Now, first of all, I didn't know that the salvation had a color on it, and I didn't know that the Holy Spirit was a bigot. You see what I mean? See, these disciples had a severe problem. Oh, I got a good one for you. I just thought about this, and I'm watching your face, and you're going to respond to me. How would you feel if Chief Gates came in right now and sat right next to you, Deacon? Oh, what a privilege to be able to minister to someone that needs it like that. Ah, but you know what? When you try to run your gold card and there's hate all over it, he's not going to respond. He's not going to respond because I'm going to tell you all something, as I tell you before. You've got to love Daryl to see Jesus. You see, now that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line, people. You know what? But we're trying to run that gold card of faith, and Jesus keeps shutting us down. He says, no, I know how you really feel. I know how you really feel about the situation. Look at verse 25. And she came and began to bow down before him, saying, Lord, help me. She didn't give up. I want you young women to listen to me too. When things get rough, bow down. You young men need to learn how to bow down. Just like that man in last week's message when he said, Lord, oh, I believe, but help out my unbelief. When I look what this sister did for us on Mother's Day, and we're going to get into this term, bow down. Proskuneo is the Greek term where we get our English term, prostrate, when you just fall down. Now, this means more than just falling down. She was acting as a dog would when the dog would lap food from his master's hand. This sister didn't just fall down on her knees and say, Master, help me. You see, that's a religious move. She didn't do that. This sister got down And she came back to him, and she fell down, and something happened deep down on the inside of her, and she began to weep and to cry and to scratch at his feet and to beg from the depths of her card, her heart. Do you know what she was saying? She said, run this card through again. Run this thing through the machine again. No, I know I got a credit line. She didn't do this. You've seen them when they come to church, Lisa. Oh, I love you, Lord. Please hear my... No! She got down lower than that. No, no, no. Sister got down low. Sister got down real low. She got down low and she put her hand... She, like a dog. That's what it is in the Greek text. Like a dog lapping from the master's hand. Now, you know the problem is with us? We too darn sophisticated as Christians. Listen, when things get rough in your house, how do you pray? Ladies, you say, hey, when your children go crazy, what do? If you want God to work, you got to use gold card faith. And this coming to church and maybe talking with somebody over the phone and maybe it's going to get right, or then coming up with this. This is a clincher. I don't care what Jesus says. I'm going to do it now, so you can run that thing through and absolutely nothing's going to happen. But default, you've got to do like this sister did. Salvation is for the lost house of Israel. You not Israel. That sister got down and she started screaming. And you know, she was making a louder noise than those bigoted disciples made. How much noise do you make when you want God to work in your life? Or do you just use your gold card once and throw the thing out and say, man, there's something wrong with this plastic. It's no good. Now look what happened. And I want to comment. When you bow down like a dog licking your master's hand, you are subservient to the one that you're bowing down to. I want you to know that you realize, like that man did last week, that he's God and you're a man. Ladies, I wanted to preach this to you on Mother's Day because I'm going to tell you the secret of success with Jesus. That is the way that you come to him. Now you may say, hey, I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to bow down like that. I am not going to approach him like that. You know what? Some of you have some disastrous problems in your lives. And if you want that thing turned around, you've got to do what this woman with gold card faith did. Now let's continue to move on down. She says, help me, Lord. Now look what the Lord answered. Now this would be the clincher to really make me get up and run from him. And he answered and said, it is not good to take the bread, the children's bread, and throw it unto the dogs. Now see, a lot of people misunderstand that text, and that's why I told you what her bowing down represented. Because you see, when she bowed down and made herself to appear to be like a puppy at a rich man's table, that's why Jesus used that term, because he read her heart. He said, this woman is doing something that even my own disciples have never done. He also denied that woman for this fact. Listen to me. He denied that woman because he was trying to teach his disciples what true faith is. The very group that was running with him had never bowed down like that. You know what they said? We've been in church 15 years. We're the household of faith. We got strong religion behind us. We're a part of a powerful denomination. After all, look who we walking through the mall with. We have Jesus with us. We can get anything we want. Do you know what Jesus was doing? He used this experience with this Canaanite, with this Syrophoenician woman, to teach his disciples what great faith is. And they misread the lesson and thought that he was a bigot like they were. Now, we learned a great lesson in this text here this morning, my friends. And the lesson that we learn is we are supposed to manifest great faith like that, and then God will respond. I'll tell you, Jesus saw through the disciples' superficiality and their shallowness, and he wanted this woman's faith to flower in order to bring his disciples to a point to recognize that they have gold card faith, and that's the way to use it. Now, a lot of people look at this and say, oh, he's just doing that. No, no, no. He put this barrier up not to keep her away, but rather to draw her closer. And he also put this barrier up seemingly to show that persistent faith and help would distinguish between genuine discipleship and superficial discipleship. Now, that's what God's going to do. You know what God, in essence, this is what I'm saying, ladies. This is what I'm saying, gentlemen. That God is going to try you. You young Christians, listen to me. He's got to try you. You going to heaven, Jody? Yeah, brother, he's going to try you. He's going to make you see if heaven is worth its place that's been prepared for you. Ladies, how many times have you spent on your knees before God, weeping out before God about what's going on in your family's lives? Some of you young women, you know why you won't weep? You won't weep because you cannot weep, because you're trying to figure out how to do it on your own. Well, what Jesus was doing in this lesson, he was trying this woman to give his disciples a lesson in what true biblical faith is all about. And I want to tell you something. When Jesus told that woman that faith was for the house of Israel, he was also at the same time assuring his disciples that he had not left this course to bring salvation to his people first. But we have to deal with this woman. And we have to deal with her using the gold card. Now let's see if it works. Follow along with me now. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now there's two kind of dogs in New Testament scriptures. There was that wild, mangy, filthy dog with sores all on it that would bite you and give you a disease and wipe you out. This isn't the kind of dog that Jesus is talking about. Because most of the time when we read this text, we say, ooh, he equated that woman to a dog. No, he didn't. The kind of dog here used in the language, and I won't give the Greek definition, it's not important, but the kind of dog used here in the language meant a house or domestic house puppy. Now you think about it. If you got a little house puppy around your house, and when you're eating at the table, and the little puppy smells all them good pork chops and meatloaf, and the little puppy comes up and wags his tail, what do you do? What do? You break off a little piece of the meatloaf and you put it down there, and the little puppy, without hurting you, just laps it up. See, that's what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, woman, you acting like a lapping house puppy. You don't give good food off the table to a house puppy. You domesticate him and train him. He was testing her faith, people. He was testing her faith. Now, a lot of people said, well, see, there it is. This Jew called this Gentile a dog, so I'm going to become a Muslim person. Because Muhammad never called his people, he didn't call her a dog. You don't understand the correct definition. Study the text and keep it within its context, and then you won't be going off on a pretext. Let's see how the woman responded to Jesus' cry. This is preaching, friends. This is preaching. Look what happens. The woman responds and says, but she said, yes, Lord. You know she's saying that? She says, I'm the domesticated house puppy. Yes, Lord, I know my place. I know I'm not a Jew. I know my people worship pagan gods. I know my background. But you know what was in the back of her head, Green? My baby has a demon. I'm willing to go all the way. She's getting ready to use that gold card again. See, Jesus was saying, you're like a house puppy begging for some meatloaf, sister. You know what she was saying? You got that right. She knew who she was talking to. Christians, listen to it. If you knew when you talk with Jesus who he was, you say, oh, yes, Lord. I'm a liar and a cheating and no good scoundrel. I'm not even worthy of life. Oh, yes, I've been totally everything but faithful. Totally unfaithful. Not even worth, oh, Lord, I know who I am. You got me right. Because you know what? When you try to use that gold card, guess what the Holy Spirit's going to do to you? The Holy Spirit's going to say, how come you didn't treat your husband right? Why did you whip your child like that? Grandmother, why didn't you trust them and give them the loan? Why didn't you act right? I sent them to you. You've got to say, yes, Lord, I blew it. But you're going to continue to try to use that gold card. Look at what happened in the text. She says, yes, Lord. but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table. In other words, the woman had an unworthy attitude when she spoke to Jesus. Now, let me share something with you right now. When you come to Christ with an unworthy attitude, yes, Lord, I'm unworthy of receiving your blessing, that turns him on, Lisa. He says, you got it. But when you come to God saying, you look at who I am, look at what I do, look at what I can do for you, you know what Jesus does? He puts your gold card on hold. Checks you. He says, wait a minute. They don't know who I am. Young Kelly, whenever you go to the Lord in prayer, even if it's something that you need to talk to with him about, realize that he's God and you, young Kelly. And if you don't come right, he's going to put it on hold. She said, the puppy dogs in the master's house are willing to wait for the master to take a crumb and give it to him. You know what she was saying? Just give me a crumb. I'm not asking. She says, listen, what I'm asking for, master, is a crumb. You're the God of the whole universe. All I want you to do is take care of this. My friends, this is gold card faith. Now, the disciples overheard this conversation. Now, you can imagine how they were feeling. Get this Gentile woman out of here. She's messing with us. Jesus, unemotionally, is looking in the woman's face. And guess who did not get the lesson? His disciples. They said every time he denied her, he was teaching his own men, get the lesson. They didn't get it. How many times do we come to church, my friends, and hear sermons like this? No. I'm telling you, despite the disciples' hostility and their resentment and their rejection of the woman, Jesus begins to respond. People may resent you because of where you were born, who your parents are. I do not want anybody in this church to walk around here and say, James Frost, because God made me the kind of color I am, that I don't have, oh, you don't know who God is. You're supposed to be walking around with your head up in the, hey, look at this, man. I'm looking like a chocolate cheesecake, and I'm happy about this thing. This woman knew who God was and did not have low self-esteem. And listen, she was a woman of few words. She didn't do a lot of begging. She just said, yes, Lord, I know. But the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Amen? Jesus looked. And I can just see Jesus in my mind's eye looking at the disciples saying, did you hear that? Now, let me share something with you. It's very important during this part of the sermon right now. This is what C.H. Spurgeon writes about verse 28 before I read it. Spurgeon says, the Lord of glory surrendered to the faith of this woman. She kept asking until she received. She kept seeking until she found. She kept knocking until it opened. That's what women of faith do. You keep on asking. You keep knocking. You say, Lord, I'm running my gold car. Don't stop. And that's the problem in the church. Look at verse 28 as we end up. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, get out of my face, woman. Didn't you hear my disciples? I don't have any room for you. No, text doesn't say that. Text doesn't say that, but that's exactly what the disciples expected. Look at what Jesus answered the woman. Then he said, old woman. Now, when he uses that term, old woman, he said, you know what he meant by old woman? He was saying, look at this. See, he was trying to take their attention off of their bias, prejudice, and put it on the woman because the woman exercised gold. You know what was happening to the machine in the mall? It was kicking in saying, give her $2,000 extra credit. The machine was getting ready to kick in now. Jesus says, oh, woman, I've rung your credit line. and the sky's the limit here. Woman, the machine didn't break down. It just wasn't plugged in. And when you kept on talking with me, all I did was check the circuitry. And when I checked it, it said, oh, it wasn't plugged in. And when it got plugged in, Jesus then said, oh, woman, your faith is great. Now the contrast is his disciples' faith was little. Oh, he blew on his own disciples. Said, you all been with me all this time. Don't you know what my life is all about? My life is about this woman. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. We give up so quick. You let the tide turn against us. We ready to throw in the towel. Jesus said, oh, woman, please, teach my men. Listen, use the woman to teach the men. In a day and age when even some people think Pastor John is a male chauvinist. I'm not a male chauvinist. I love women like this. Keep on praying. Get down like a puppet dog and say, Jesus, are you going to do it? But you know why we won't pray like that? We say, well, Jesus, I don't like him. Jesus says, hey, I'm using him. You get down on your face and ask me. Act like a puppy dog and just shake your tail and says, Lord, I'm going to wait on you to bless. And he's sure enough do it. I'm telling you, because I had many puppy dogs that I got from my late pastor. He gave me those German shepherds. Every time I get ready to feed them, their little tail was wagging, salivating and everything. And when I'd hold out the food, them little German shepherds would come up and lick my hand. That's the way you got to come to Jesus. Just shaking his, oh, I know he's going to bless me. And get ready with you. And then if he ain't got nothing for you, remember what he did last time and come on back. Keep on asking. And he's going to eventually bless you. Listen, distance didn't make any difference to omnipotence. This woman's daughter's at home full of the devil, screaming, rolling all around, acting all crazy. But look what Jesus says at the end of verse 28. Be it done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed at once. In other words, instantly the demon left the daughter. See, Jesus did not have to go to the woman's house like he went to Jairus' house. Jesus doesn't have to leave heaven and come down and wait 2 or 3 months for things to happen. If you go to him and run that gold card, it'll happen. The Lord healed via remote control in this situation. He just turned on the remote control. He said, oh, woman, great faith. Hey, your baby's all right. Go on home. Wait a minute, Lord. Don't you have to come? Nope. Right after he said that, you know what this Canaanite woman did? Struck out and said, thank you, Master. Thank you. Bowed out. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to remember your face. And then as soon as she got out that home, she turned and she had a dust cloud behind her. And while she was running towards her little baby running, Mama! And she saw her baby, and every step she ran, she jumped. She, Jesus! My baby! Wow! And they had a beautiful praise party. But the reason that we do not have that, my friends, is because we do not have gold card faith. We don't have gold card faith. We have this credit line kind of faith that ends when your faith ends. You see, my friends, divine pity was larger than that racial boundary that his men had set up. Second thing, the master's salvation is a fountain for everybody. He doesn't cut it off for people that are Gentile stock. And we find in this text that that is true. Now, what do we learn from this? We learn this, that when he says, your faith is great, it comes from a Greek word, megas. And isn't that interesting? Because we're always talking about megaphors and all that. It comes from a wonderful, wonderful term, megas, which means your faith is strong. He was saying, in essence, you have a very strong credit rating with me. You can use your gold card anytime you want. But when you use that gold card, come that way, believing. Let me end up by sharing something with you ladies, with you mothers, and I hope that this sharing, this little poem by John Lockyer, a famous theologian, will give you an example of the kind of woman that I think God wants all women to be. If man is the head, he says, she, the woman, is his crown. A crown to her husband and a crown of visible creation. The man was thus refined, but the woman was double refined. One removed further from the earth. Then Lockyer goes on and says, the woman was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not made out of his head to rule over him, nor made under his feet to be trampled by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, and under his arm to be protected by him, and near his heart to be beloved by him. What a great privilege it is to be a woman like this Canaanite woman. God has created you as beautiful creatures. And the most beautiful scenario that you can see yourself in is in a position of repentance and anticipation as you offer your life to Christ. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father in heaven, with all joy, we come to you and we thank you for what we've heard today. Teach us how to be like this Canaanite woman. Teach us that we have to keep on knocking, calling, seeking. And then teach us, not only through the lives of other believers that are knocking, calling, and seeking, that you have an individual time for each individual in this room to answer that request. Father in heaven, after you answer our request, then we ask that we might continuously be faithful. For in understanding what you do in our lives, we understand more and more who you are and our relationship to you. And we just want to take out the time like the Canaanite woman did as she ran towards her daughter to say, thank you, Jesus, for giving us that gold card of faith that has no credit limit at all. And Father, help us to be like the example that Jesus used as little puppies coming to the Master, waiting for just the crumb. Lord, if some of us are coming to the Master wanting the T-bone steak, the prime rib, Heavenly Father, it's your credit line. But we know the way you bless. Give us a heart to ask for the crumb, for that crumb brought greater joy to this woman than all material substance. Father, we thank you for what you've taught us today. And we ask that we might be obedient to your work in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.